sorry I played that yesterday, but I got to play it again today. Just Eddie Van Halen on Michael Jackson's Beat It. Okay, so there's a bunch of stuff to go over today. Today, of course, is the free day of the podcast, so please tell your friends if they've been hesitating to cough up the $3.50, about to go to $5 a month. This is a day they can listen for free and decide, yeah, that really is a good podcast. I am going to subscribe to that and listen to it every day. I see where I can push a little button there, and it will send me an email every day when the podcast posts, and then all I have to do is click the link in the email, and I listen. It's fantastic. Tell your friends. So Trump still hasn't made an appearance. You know, he's recovering at the White House, but he did go on Hannity last night, said a bunch of things. I'm going to get to them. But this happened.
You know, last time I had a big problem. They oscillated my mics when I had the one debate. We had three debates with Hillary, and on I think the first debate, on the first debate they oscillated the mic. Well, I want them to vote, but I will say this: absentee is okay because absentee ballots. absentee ballots are fine.
Well, you know, it's not what he was talking about. It's the cough, right? And so CNN immediately rolled out Sanjay Gupta.
What do you hear there, Sanjay? Hmm.
Well, he sounds congested still, you know. And I hadn't heard that before. It's interesting because, you know, he's obviously still just, 8 days out from when he first developed symptoms. So he'd still be in that period for sure. So they've got to keep a close eye on him. I mean, this isn't political intrigue. This is just decent humanity at this point. He sounds sick and he's 74 years old and this is a serious disease.
Okay. He's sick. Well, yeah, he's sick. He's 74 years old. I think there's some rule, you know, that television doctors are supposed to adhere to, which is you really can't diagnose a patient without seeing them, talking to them, hearing them. Old Sanjay, though, is put in that position. What do you hear there, Sanjay? Well, he's in bad shape. Trump made some other remarks. He's got rally plans now.
I think I'm going to try doing a rally on Saturday night if we have enough time to put it together. But we want to do a rally in Florida, probably in Florida on Saturday night. Might come back and do one in Pennsylvania in the following night. And it's incredible what's going on. I feel so good.
Have you had a test since your diagnosis a week ago?
Well, what we're doing is probably the test will be tomorrow.
Okay, so he mentioned he's going to do a rally in Florida. He's going to do a rally in Pennsylvania. Those are key states.
Will he be okay if he doesn't win Florida? President Trump, I mean.
No, I mean, President Trump has to win Florida. The last Republican to go to the White House without winning Florida was Calvin Coolidge. And again, if Joe Biden wins Florida on election night, I don't care what Trump does. This thing's over.
Well, okay. That probably does make sense. But Don Lemon listened to Trump discuss his rally plans and he said, oh, my God, he's desperate.
He is desperate. Desperate to hit the trail, even though he may still be infected with a deadly contagious virus.
Yeah, you wouldn't want him on the trail, would you? Yeah, I mean, who isn't desperate when they're running for president? This is ridiculous. Trump explained to Hannity why he wasn't going to do the virtual debate.
But I'm not going to sit behind a computer and have somebody feed him answers because he has no idea because he won't be president for 3 months before the wonderful Kamala takes over.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, first people said, well, he doesn't want to do he doesn't want to do this virtual thing because it can cut off his mic. Well, yeah, but there's also, you know, Biden sitting at a computer and off camera is his people are handing him cards or whatever. And, you know, giving him answers that he can't think of on his own. And just by the way, yesterday, Biden, this would have been a major issue in if other news hadn't intervened. I mean, it blew up on Twitter for about 2 hours, and then other stuff happened. You know, Trump's could have let Biden hang out to dry on this, but Biden, once again,
they'll know my opinion on court packing when the election is over.
They'll know my opinion on court packing when the election is over.
They'll know my opinion on court packing when the election is over.
He won't answer the question. He will not do it. And by the way, Alexander Burns, who works for the New York Times, has interviewed Kamala on this exact point. Will you pack the Supreme Court? And she said yes.
Senator Harris told me in an interview, actually, that she was absolutely open to doing that. Mm. But we've not heard her reiterate that recently. So I think for them, there is this balancing act of they don't want to alienate moderate voters. They also don't want to send a demoralizing signal to their own party.
Yeah.
They'll know my opinion of court packing when the election is over.
So remember, Nixon, I got a secret peace plan for Vietnam. Elect me and I'll tell you what the secret plan is. Turned out to be bullshit.
They'll know my opinion on court packing when the election is over.
They'll know my opinion on court packing when the election is over. All right. So one of the other things Trump said was he was attacking Biden for endorsing Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia.
But he endorsed a governor of Virginia who not only executed a baby late-term abortion, but executed a baby because said the baby can be born and then you can kill the baby. The governor of Virginia said, we will execute the baby after the baby is born. That's when, you know, you talk about late-term abortion. This is early-term execution.
Well, people went nuts about that. How dare he say that? What is he talking about? Oh, my God. Did they forget what Northam said on the radio a couple of years ago?
So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
Remember all the trouble that was, you know, just erupted over Northam's explaining exactly how a late-term abortion worked. The baby would be delivered, it's on the table, and then they kill it. You know, and they're upset with Trump for pointing out what Northam said, but he was absolutely right. So all of these things have led to Nancy Pelosi this morning announcing that she's forming a congressional body of some sort, a commission or something, to look into the 25th Amendment. Now, so let's talk about the 25th Amendment. The 25th Amendment envisions several scenarios in which a president cannot perform the duties of his or her office, and the vice president either takes over temporarily or permanently. One of those scenarios is that people close to the president, namely the vice president and the cabinet, notice that the president is, has gone bonkers, or has got dementia, or has got Alzheimer's, or, you know, it just cannot carry out the duties of his office. And so there is a mechanism by which the vice president and the cabinet invoke the 25th Amendment, and the second they do, the powers of the presidency transferred to the vice president. Now, this doesn't have – the Congress is not involved in this until late. And Nancy's pissed. She wants in on this. She wants the Congress in on the 25th. She wants the Congress to be able to declare the president's nuts and he can't continue in office. So she's forming this little commission or whatever to investigate this. It'll go absolutely nowhere. Jim Clyburn is explaining, you know, putting the best face on why they want to do this.
I think that the president is displaying some very erratic behavior. And I think that the American people are beginning to become very concerned about this. And so I think that it is good for the president, or at least the people in the White House, most especially the chief of staff, to realize that he is not going to be allowed to jerk the country around. So this may be the kind of attention getter that we need.
Oh, it's an attention getter. We're going to waste our time with an attention getter?
She has been fixated for the last 4 years with overturning the results of the last election. And here she is again. She's now trying to overturn the results of next month's election. She's wanted to remove President Trump from office because she doesn't agree with the people's choice from the last election. Look, they started with the Russia hoax. They did impeachment. This is what she spent and wasted her speakership on.
Yeah, even on CNN, Poppy Harlow, I've often, you know, sort of, you know, I guess you could say I've attacked Poppy Harlow. She seems, I shouldn't say this. I mean, it's at times where she just seems dumb. But, I mean, I guess I'm, you know, maybe misjudging her, because her reaction to this deal was just priceless.
So to be really clear, they're doing this, which is not going to go anywhere. Uh-huh. But not, you know, getting something done for the millions of American people who are waiting on lawmakers to stop fighting over this. Yeah. Well, they don't know what it's like to not be able to pay their rent or feed their families.
Right. That's exactly right. Nancy Pelosi isn't going to do the stimulus bill, but she is going to. What's the word? She's going to lead the Congress down another dead end, another box canyon, another rabbit hole about how can we get this president out of office. Meanwhile, in Michigan, Trump's Department of Justice, namely the FBI, has arrested 13 men, I think. Maybe there's some women involved. Who were conspiring, they allege, to attack the Michigan State House, Michigan Capitol, kidnap the governor, Gretchen Whitmer, and kill her. And the state attorney general, whose name is Dana Nessel, a Democrat, of course, it outlined
what they
planned
to do. The individuals in custody are suspected to have attempted to identify the home addresses of law enforcement officers in order to target them, made threats of violence intended to instigate a civil war, and engaged in planning and training for an operation to attack the Capitol building of Michigan and to kidnap government officials, including the governor of Michigan.
Including the governor of Michigan. The governor of Michigan, of course, Gretchen Whitmer, she blames
Trump. Of course, we
know
every time that this White House identifies me or takes a shot at me, we see an increase in rhetoric online, violent rhetoric. And so there's always a connection. And certainly it's something that we've been watching, but this took it to a whole new level.
It took it to a whole new level. Now, one of those people arrested is a guy named Brandon Caserta. And Brandon Caserta has been online. Now, you would think, according to Gretchen Whitmer, that these militia people who wanted to kidnap and kill Governor Whitmer were Trump supporters. That's what they want you to believe. This is Brandon Caserta.
No, Trump is not your friend, dude. And it amazes me that people actually, like, believe that when he's shown over and over and over again that he's a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person that works for government is your enemy, dude.
Dude. Attorney General Nessel again.
Things have only escalated more and more, and you've seen this hateful rhetoric against our governor for months and months, and you've seen it enabled not just by the president, but by other elected leaders in our state that call her a dictator or use other very hostile language towards her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, She's referring to Trump and sheriffs who have said they were not going to enforce Governor Whitmer's lockdown orders. By the way, they planned to kidnap her from her vacation home. Now, you remember that at one point she was threatening to arrest Michiganders who used their vacation homes, who, you know, got out of wherever they lived and were going to go sit out the lockdown in their vacation home. She said, no, you can't do that. And then her husband did it. And, you know, everybody on the left is jumping in on it. It's Trump who's causing these militia people to, you know, cook up plots like this.
The president's rhetoric is being hijacked by these groups and is being weaponized by these groups to justify their activity. We, of course, have seen him frequently talk about fellow public officials as traitors and as potentially treasonous. And then, of course, the president actively tweeted that supporters should help liberate Michigan from his from, you know, this governor. So what you're seeing is the president arming these volatile groups with justification for violence. And I would go even further, Allison, and say that the president's tweets are helping to fuel terror.
Now, this guy's name is Miles Taylor. He is billed whenever he is on the air as a former Department of Homeland Security official in the Trump administration. And that's true, except he was working for Kristen Nielsen. Remember what happened to her? Except that he quit his job with DHS. He joined Google and then took a leave from Google to work on the Biden campaign. He is a Biden campaign worker going on the air saying these things. And once again, Mr. Miles Taylor, here's the guy who's been put under arrest, supposedly, for plotting against the Michigan governor at the urging of Donald Trump.
No, Trump is not your friend, dude. And it amazes me that people actually, like, believe that when he's shown over and over and over again that he's a tyrant.
That doesn't stop them. I mean, the MSNBC puts on this guy whose name is Phil Yusey, I think, who is a, you know, former counterintelligence person or something. And once again, you know, this is a guy that just, you know, this is all Trump's fault.
We have an attorney general who keeps pointing to the far left and trying to draw some kind of equivalency between extreme organized violence on the right and violent protest on the left. That equivalency isn't there.
Oh, it isn't? Oh, yeah. Well, this was in a Wisconsin residential neighborhood last night. The same neighborhood where the night before protesters rampaged through this residential neighborhood and threw bricks through the windows of people's homes. And last night they came back to do it again. And they were only stopped because the National Guard was there. And it just goes. Once again, Fiusi is blaming Trump for inciting these people, and, you know, just somehow or another, what Brandon Caserta says just gets ignored.
No, Trump is not your friend, dude.
Not your friend, dude. Okay, so cleaning up a few other messes. Ted Wheeler, the nut job who's the mayor of Portland, who has let Portland riot for, I don't know, what is it now, 4 months? He's actually behind in the race for Portland mayor, trailing a woman who is Antifa and proudly says she is Antifa.
Are you Antifa? And how would that guide how you would handle protests as mayor?
Being opposed to fascism in 2020 is not something to be embarrassed about. I have a bumper sticker from the beginning of my campaign that says hashtag everyday anti-fascist. And what I have tried to do is normalize peaceful responses to the rise of white nationalism by organizing in my community.
Is being anti-fascist the same thing as being Antifa? Are you Antifa?
Antifa is not anything more than idea. That's what Vice President Biden explained to us. It's people who oppose anti-fascism.
People who oppose anti-fascism. I think it's people who oppose fascism. But, you know, she's a little confused anyway.
The thing that's, you know, I think we all got to get used to, unless we're really going to jump out there and
work hard, is Trump could lose. These nut jobs could take over. It's possible. It's not beyond the realm of possibility. I mean, the polls say they're ahead. I don't always believe the polls, but they do say that. Let's check the mail. see what we got. Of course, the mail address is host@johngibson.com. Hey, John, it's Steve in Ottawa. Remember Steve? wow, he was great. Listen, I had an email to get a few things off my chest today. First off, going back to the first debate, the Proud Boys are not a racist organization. I went to high school with Gavin McGinnis. Yeah, I know Gavin McGinnis too. Gavin was the furthest thing from a racist. He was a front man in a punk rock band. He used to get into running battles with actual racist skinheads in downtown Ottawa and rolled for his Doc Martens. Oh, I get it. Rolled for his Doc Martens. The Proud Boys were formed to celebrate Western civilization because anyone with an ounce of intelligence understands that it is superior to all other civilizations on offer. People vote with their feet, and it is no accident that the entire world is trying to move to the West, not the other way around. And by the way, this obsession with racism is such a fucking canard. Angry Rich always liked canard. Racism is another word for tribalism, and there are many tribes. What about ideological tribes? I will not be lectured to about my supposed racism by Marxists. The Marxists killed far more people than the racists did last century. And what about religious tribes? Muslim terrorists killed over 3,000 people in one day. I suspect racists in America killed 3,000 people. I suspect racists in America haven't killed 3,000 people since 9/11. The only reason it's suddenly the biggest issue facing America is the Democrat Party decided to start using it to stoke their voters under the Obama administration. As for the second debate, that was a beatdown. That woman is not ready to be president. She's a lightweight by any measure. She plays a race card because it's the only one she has in her deck. Whoever advised her to fall back on that laugh of hers needs to lose his job. I got news for you, Kamala. It's not as endearing as you think it is. One more thing. I agree with your caller from yesterday. COVID was no accident. The Chinese were getting their asses kicked by trade, and suddenly a mysterious virus appears, which is particularly lethal if you are overweight or diabetic. Sadly, a lot of Americans have that problem. The virus is doing exactly what it was designed to do, slow the Trump economy and install a president who will end the trade war on day one. Stephen Ottawa always got a good, always has something good to contribute. Somebody asked me, would you accept guest posts on your site? Would you be willing to insert links into existing posts? No, I wouldn't. Jeff in Nashville. The cries of President Trump's apparent disregard for safety by not adhering to social distancing and public health considerations have grown both tiresome and ridiculous. Let us not forget that this same press corps that insinuated that Trump had pathological neurotic obsession as a germaphobe. Oh, yeah.
This is yet another example of how the media will twist themselves and the facts into a pretzel to advance a narrative. Yeah, Jeff. Okay. John, thank you for incorporating Edward Van Halen into the last two podcasts. I had the near religious experience of being on stage in Eddie with 1993 at what was then Pine Knob in Detroit. He made playing the guitar look effortless, and his brown sound was distortion you could play in church. Okay, well, I'm unfamiliar with that stuff. He autographed one of his guitars for me. Ernie Ball, Music Man at the time. I will cherish that experience forever. Doug. Okay. Gary. Gary Valentine writes. Oh, this is, you know, Gary, sorry. He sends me links. You know, I don't care about links. Sorry, I don't want to look at links. Owen writes, hi, John. I've had a theory for a while that rallies and yard signs for any candidate may not be the best indicator. I'm from Massachusetts. I saw way more Bernie and Warren signs during the primaries, and they drew much larger crowds, and they still lost Massachusetts to Biden, which leads me to believe Trump might have a more hardcore following, but not sure if he reaches enough independent moderate voters. In addition, since it's John Lennon's 80th birthday, could you please play A Day in the Life between his years in the Beatles and solo work? I think that's his best piece of music. Well, it is John Lennon's birthday, and I am going to play something, but it's not going to be that one. No offense, but it's not. Michael writes, your live tweeting was on point last night during the debate. Kamala still didn't answer the question about packing the court. Do you think the debate will move the needle at this point? I don't, although it should, because people ought to be frightened to death that she could end up being president. Okay, so it's come to be that time of the show, and I don't know if he actually called, but let's pretend like we're certain he did, and run his intro.
That's right. Hey, old John, it's me. Holy shit, man. Go play with Negro, say what's up, Johnny Boy. Bring my black ass up.
All right, let's just see if that's him that called, okay?
Good morning, John. It's Christy from Chapel Hill.
It's been a while. No, it's not.
I am calling with a rather disturbing incident that happened with me, I should say. I have a young lady who I have been mentoring since she was in sixth grade. She's now in her 30s. African-American girl, lived in the inner city. I was her teacher in sixth grade. I have helped her pass tests to become a prison guard, which she declined to take the job because her social worker explained to her she was going to lose her Obama phone and her food stamps and her housing and all of that. We've had a very good relationship over the years. I've helped her out several times. She usually comes to visit me once a year. I go up there, usually at Christmas, and take her out to dinner and what have you. So very, you know, good, solid relationship. I consider her a friend. Never been involved in politics with her. She's not anyone involved in politics. Someone of, low average ability as far as intellectual, like probably could never go to college type thing, but very nice girl. Long story short is, I have now been branded a racist because I'm white. I cannot understand what her people have been through for 400 years. And Joe Biden and Trump hate black people, and they should burn the shit up is her exact phrase, so that all the white people can rebuild everything that her people have made over the years on free slave labor, and they're going to burn it all down, and all the white people can build it up for free. I'm absolutely mortified that in 1 year, this young lady can be so radicalized to the point where now I am the enemy, someone who has helped her for well over 20 years. I am now enemy number one simply because of the color of my skin. And their solution is to burn the shit down so that all of us white people can rebuild it for free. So I just thought you'd like to know about that, that it's not that these people in BLM are liking Biden or liking Trump. Apparently they hate both. And based on the color of the skin, they can suddenly decide that they don't like you either. So again, very mortified, very hurt. So many emotions all wrapped into one, but wanted to let you know about that. I was very anti Khalil changing his song, and I love it. Sounds great. So good job on that. And as usual, I enjoy listening to you every day. Have a great weekend.
Oh, Christy. Oh, jeez. That's a terrible story, isn't it? Yeah, well, I played the Khalil bumper, and we got Christy instead. That's a pretty good deal. Khalil hadn't called yet, so he's not going to be on today. That usually means that he's been up all night and driving his truck and wasn't able to make the call. Now, it is John Lennon's birthday, as that earlier caller said. There's other people whose birthday it is, and I've always skipped them because it's John Lennon. Among them, Sean Lennon, same day, his son. And, I remember I played this song last year for his birthday. Maybe I play it every year. Listen, karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head. You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead. So anyway, I've been playing that song for John Lennon's birthday year after year after year because I really think it's a great song. But I decided this year to actually change it up for his birthday. He didn't write this song, but I think he sings it fantastic. And I love his version of Stand By Me. And the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. Great song written by Benny King and Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, and a big hit for Benny King, and John Lennon did it. I love John Lennon's voice. He apparently didn't like his own voice. He liked to double track it in the Beatle years. He thought that helped it somehow, but I think he's a really good singer, was a really good singer, obviously. Killed at 40 years old, 1980, would be 80 today. And by the way, Nancy Pelosi is 80. So, yeesh. Have a good weekend. Tell your friends the podcast is free today. All I got to do is go to johngibson.com, and it is free, free, free. Follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio. Write to me at host@johngibson.com. And call the Bitch Box at 859-544-2766.